Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic-butter shrimp scampi. Mm. HelloFresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Wow.
Hello and welcome to the Abroad Japan podcast, probably the best way of learning about life in Japan without actually being in Japan. I'm your host, Chris Broad, and we're joined, as always, by Pete Donaldson, festive boy. How you doing, Pete? What's going on?
Merry Christmas, boy. I'm going to let the listeners into a little secret. Chris completely forgot how to introduce the podcast, a podcast he's done about 200 episodes of, if not more. I don't know what's gone wrong this year, but he's closing out 2021 with a terrible performance. And he's not even got the excuse of Christmas booze. He's not even got the excuse of overindulging over Christmas. He's just gone mad.
I mean, my Christmas dinner was a disaster. What was it? It was a small portion of McDonald's French fries, a small packet of cheese, some like dry, horrible cheese, and a bit of ham. And that was, and I sat alone in a room while my family, 10,000 miles away, had a great big turkey, gravy, sausages, pigs in blankets, Yorkshire puddings. People outside of the UK don't know what pigs in blankets are. It's a sausage wrapped in bacon. It's not something far more sinister than that. I'm not very happy. Ending the year in a bad mood. But then that's entertaining, isn't it? I find I'm in my element when I'm grumpy, when I'm horrible, when I'm a monster. When I'm happy, it's just boring, isn't it? I'm happy. All right. Nobody wants to hear happy people. They want to hear cynical, angry monsters. And that's what I do. You have a nice Christmas, Pete?
Completely agree.
Did anything nice?
I did, yeah. It was nice and chill. I sort of downed tools a lot earlier than I thought I was going to down, and basically concentrated on the jobs I needed to do in the house effectively. So I've got quite a lot done. We moved into a house about sort of August, sort of July, August time. And because I've been so busy, I've not really had a chance to kind of do stuff like, I think they call it caulking. I caulked. But for some reason, the bloke who owned the house before us really wanted a telly in the bath. So we've got a telly in the bath like a posh hotel. And so I've noticed the seal was going on that. So I've caulked that. And I failed to fix a shower properly. I've sanded down the work surfaces in the kitchen. I've been quite productive, I think. I've used my time properly rather than just sitting on my arse eating mince pies. But that I've still got some of those left. I've still got a lot of Ket, a lot of sweets, a lot of candy left over from Christmas. And I'm going to finish it off as soon as I can, to be quite frank.
Did you get to meet the man himself? Did you get to meet Father Christmas? Did you come down your chimney?
He got me all. Yeah, he got me all kinds of stuff. When you get to my age, though, I have to draw resolve, and I have to put down red lines for my family. I'm not the sort of person to sort of go, guys, I know you're going to buy me loads of presents, so this is what I'd like. I'm very much a person, guys, I know you're not going to buy me lots of presents, but if you do, can you not buy me any socks that aren't black? I think we spoke about this before. I bought in bulk a load of socks off Amazon, really cheap, and they're just black. And I don't want any socks in my life that aren't completely pitch black, because I can mix and match then. If they're exactly the same sort of socks, I don't have to worry about what colours they are. I don't have to worry about what styles they are. They can just be the same. I just don't want socks for Christmas, guys, because I'm going to throw them in the bin.
Life hacks for 2022. Yep. Only buy socks of one colour, and you can mix and match. I think I follow a similar rule, to be honest. I think all my socks are either black or white. It's very boring. Mm.
You're like Mark Zuckerberg, aren't you? You only wear black T-shirts.
I do. And I want to live in the metaverse because it's going to be brilliant there, isn't it? In the metaverse. What a shit idea. What a prick. But I was speaking to a friend the other day, and he's got a son. And, I think he's like 8 or 9 or something. And we were talking about how his son still believes in Father Christmas. And I was like, I was quite envious. I was like, fuck. Wish I believed in Father Christmas. I hope there's no kids listening into this. I know we do have some parents. So I know some of you guys listening with your kids, which I don't recommend doing, given our language and Pete Donaldson's vivid descriptions of things. But it's just sad. I remember believing in Father Christmas. It was magical. I remember I used to lie there in bed, and I would deliberately try and stay awake until 2 a.m. when I could sort of see this figure come in the bloody bedroom and put a sack at the end of my bed or something. It was really cool. It was very exciting. And I remember just the real letdown of discovering. I think I asked my gran. I was like, gran, I've got this feeling that Father Christmas might not be real. And she was like, he's not. And I was like, fuck. And it was just the beginning of the end for me. It was all downhill after that.
If there are any children listening, Chris is confused. He is a liar. and he is in the pocket of Big Christmas. And he doesn't believe in Santa because he doesn't believe on like an emotional level a man could be so good, could be so altruistic, could be so awesome. We, of course, here in the normal world, know that Santa is indeed real, and he will be getting your presents next year. All right, so I'm just clearing that up, Chris. I've done radio for long enough, and you get in trouble for doing two things: talking about how shit cats are, and another thing, saying that Santa isn't real, and all of the racism and stuff that you get some presenters seem duty bound to do. So all that stuff, you've got to be so careful. So, kids. He's just being, he's a very silly man. He's not had enough McDonald's fries, and we both like McDonald's fries, don't we? He hasn't had enough McDonald's fries this Christmas, and he's just taken out on everyone else. He's a big, sore-headed Gruffalo, he is.
I think the world has moved on from Father Christmas. He needs to be cancelled.
Chris, stop this.
The Father Christmas, right? He sees you when you're sleeping. He knows when you're awake. Is that a man that deserves to be allowed into society?
Get in my bedroom, mate. Big beard, get in my bedroom. Let's have some fun.
I'm amazed. I'm actually amazed in this era that Santa has not been cancelled yet. A man that comes down your chimney, eats your food, breaks into your property, stares at you while you're sleeping. He probably... Like breathes heavily as he's overlooking you as you lay there asleep. There's something quite sinister about
sherry breath.
It's all a bit sinister, isn't it? But I'll tell you what isn't sinister. We've got a story this week from Tomislav in Vienna. He says, "Dear Chris and Pete, my name's Tomislav and I'm from Vienna. And I thought I would share my experience while being in Japan. I was hanging out with a friend near Osaka Castle when we were approached by an elderly man. He asked us where we were from, to which we said, Austria. And then he asked if Austrians and Germans were the same. That's a tough one for us. To avoid further explanations, I just said yes, much to my friend's displeasure. And then he wanted to know if Austria was attacked by the Nazi Germany in World War II. Well, he outclassed his previous question in terms of inconvenience as I explained what really happened. He kept repeating the pattern with Poland, Czechoslovakia, France and Belgium, which was slightly uncomfortable to say the least. After he got his answers, he casually walked away with satisfaction. That was weird. I never thought a Japanese guy would be that extroverted and overzealous on such a sensitive topic. In Austria and Germany, there is a strong sense of awareness of what happened in World War II and to never, ever let it happen again. Asia, Japan in particular, has its own story in World War II. But after my encounter with the old man, I think it's handled differently, especially the events in Europe. Have you had any awkward moments in Japan on that matter? I enjoy your YouTube and podcast, guys. All the best from Vienna, Tomislav. There's a lot to unpack there. It reminds me of that... The news story we had a few months ago. Remember there was like a host club where you, like, I think women would go, and opposite to a hostess club, a host club where you go in as a woman and guys sit there and talk to you for money and pour your drinks. But in this host club, they dressed up like SS Nazi people, and there was a lot of displeasure from that about that, which is understandable. I mean, first of all, what the fuck were they thinking? And second of all, who thinks I want to go out tonight and get a drink from a man dressed up like the SS? I don't know what was going on there, but luckily they pulled the uniforms and they pulled it all. But I mean, World War II in Japan, as a whole story to unpack, a story to tell there, I think they teach it very differently here. I think they sort of paint themselves as the victims in Japan because of the atomic bombings, and they don't cover a lot of the bad stuff that went down, which I think is a mistake, because it's very important, as Thomas Love said, to learn from our mistakes historically. They haven't. I mean, Japan has been very peaceful since World War II, and I think that's fantastic. And it's a very pacifist country. People here don't want war. They're very against it. And that's a success on the part of the government. But I think they would do better to learn a bit more about the atrocities of World War II, just to make sure they didn't happen again. Those are my thoughts on that. But I haven't really spoken to people about it. You know, it's not like the UK where it's rammed down our throats till the end of time, World War II. It's taught very differently here. I think it's interesting, though, seeing it from the Japanese perspective. You know, what's it like to be in a country that lost a war? How would you teach your own people? And I think if I did a little thought experiment, what if I had a country called Broadtopia, a country where every citizen is awarded fried chicken. But say I rule Broadtopia and I went to war with the United Kingdom over chicken exports. And I did some terrible things, committed atrocities, did some terrible shit. And then I lost the war. Surely I'm then going to probably educate my people, you know, we weren't that bad. We just wanted chicken. You wouldn't teach your own people necessarily that what you did was wrong, ethically.
If you're still in charge. Yeah, I mean, anything like that casts a long... I think if you started kicking off against the Allied powers, got your bum handed to you in Broadtopia, I don't think you'd still be in charge, to be quite frank. I dare say you'd be annexed. I dare say there'd be a non-proliferation agreement. There'd be all kinds of things happening. Oh,
What happened to Emperor Hirohito after Japan lost World War II?
Yeah, but he wasn't the general, though, was he? I mean, he's still a bit of a figurehead.
Well, I would be the figurehead as well, so of Broadtopia. it was a good move to keep the emperor in power. I think that sort of kept the peace in Japan and let people get on with it, right? And I think in Broadtopia, after all the terrible shit that I would do, my people would need me as my bloodline of this fictional country that's gone on far too long now, as an example. They'd want me there. Well, I mean, it's not... Well,
God,
like,
one studio
about wars,
and you think you can take over the world.
I don't like talking about it. I feel like I open myself to attack here. I'm not a historical expert. I love history. I was quite good at it at school, but I'm not an expert on the wars. I do think it's important to try and learn war, try and learn history from an objective perspective as much as possible, something that in hindsight we don't do in the UK. We're just as guilty of teaching our people that the British Empire was good. It was good what happened in India. We built them a railroad, innit? That's basically what I learned about the British Empire. It was great. We helped the world and we gave people things, but that's not quite what happened, is it? But this isn't the Abroad in Japan. This is the Abroad in Japan podcast. It's not the Chris Broad tries and struggles to explain history. My advice is try and learn as best you can what happened in terms of history from an objective perspective, something that's impossible to do when you're learning from your own nation, right?
I mean, look, and in the same way that the British Empire went all around the world and stole shit to put in our museums, here's a new story this week about a police sergeant who just loves to do a little bit of stealing. He's been disciplined, right? 42-year-old police sergeant, which I find it amusing that someone my age could be a police sergeant. Obviously, people can be police sergeants in their 30s, but for some reason, 42 years old just seems too junior for me. He was disciplined for stealing 200 yen from, get this, a shrine donation box. Chris, it's not only a god on earth, a crime on earth, it's a crime in the god space as well, the metaverse. He's going to anger some gods by stealing from the shrines, surely. I mean, this is just very, very naughty indeed. Basically, shrines and temples in Japan. You'll all have seen them. If you've been to Japan, and even if you haven't, you would have seen a video in Chris's videos or other ones where people, a lot of these temples operate almost solely on the funds of donations, effectively. So it's people throwing money in the coins and bigger donations elsewhere. So there's a little box outside every single temple. People can throw a bit of coin in there. So you usually throw like a 5-yen coin. Is that the one with the little hole in? It is the 5-yen coin with the little hole
yeah,
in.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
The one you see on travelers' necklaces. You throw the money in the box to draw the attention of the spirit or god of the shrine. Then you clap, you bow, you say your prayers or whatever. Say your prayers and then leave. But this guy in Komono, Mie Prefecture, where's that, Chris?
It's just outside of Nagoya and it's home to Matsusaka, right. The most expensive beef in Japan. And that's the only time I've been through well,
that's probably why.
Surprisingly. Yeah.
That's probably why he did it. He used a screwdriver to open the box and stole. Oh my god. 200 yen. It's just under $2 in March of this year. And the charge of theft have only just been filed against him. I just wanted money for cigarettes and coffee. This is the reason why he did this. This is the reason why he stole 200 yen. I don't know how much coffee. I don't know how many cigarettes you're going to be able to buy with 200 yen. His wife apparently hadn't given him any spending money in 10 years, and this is what led him to commit the crime. In Japan, women generally operate the household finances, which if you've ever been in a relationship with me, is an excellent idea. It's common for this to go on, and they basically give their husband pocket money, basically, and he was never allowed any pocket money for cigarettes and coffee. So he's been for the crime of stealing 200 yen, a law crime in a church in a holy site. He's received a 3-month suspension, but he's basically just asked for a voluntary early retirement. He wants to spend more 42. Time at home where he can cook his own coffee. 42,
I mean, there's a lot to unpack there, isn't there? Like, it's pretty sad when you need to pry open a box to steal 200 yen. It's not exactly the great train heist, is it? Fucking hell. And
what are you going to get out of that, though? Like, that is a cup of coffee at best, truly.
Well, I think a bit of Family Mart chicken costs 120 yen, so you could almost buy two pieces.
God, that's cheap. God,
that's definitely
cheap,
worth
Chris.
Sacrificing your entire career, your main income stream, destroying your reputation amongst the whole town. Definitely worth it, isn't it, to get that 200 yen. It's one of those situations where you wonder if there's more to the story.
Right.
Or if he's making up that whole allowance thing. But, I mean, that is common in Japan, as you said. You know, I think Natsuki's in that position where Asami manages all the finances. Probably a good idea. I know Natsuki well.
Yeah.
I know what he does with his money. If he gets his hands on it, he's like, I want to buy a motorbike. And he buys a motorbike and then he never, ever rides it. And that's what Natsuki does. So it's probably a good thing. But Natsuki doesn't steal money from boxes like this. And I think that's just sad, really. I think that's kind of sad. I think he should have just maybe asked his wife for a little bit more money that week.
Can I have some money for fags, please?
But you know, that it might seem trivial. Like in the UK, right? I'm trying to think of it from a British perspective here, right? If a police sergeant just stole 200 yen, aka that's about £1.50, no one would give a shit, right?
If he stole it from a church or something, he'd probably get fired. You would get fired. It shows very low moral fibre, doesn't it? Not really thinking about what you're doing. So. You're supposed to be protecting the... Yeah.
I think suspension, 3-month suspension was a good idea, but... He took his retirement because your reputation just doesn't bounce back from that, certainly in Japan. People take things like that very seriously, and I think that's why, luckily, petty crime in Japan is quite rare compared to other countries. But it's sad, though. It's a sad story.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, he just wanted fags. He's a man who wants fags. We've all been there.
Have we?
You're on a night out. You're on a night out. You've only got 200 yen yet left, and you can't afford fags. So you think about stealing it from a church box. We've all been there, Chris.
Oh God. I hope not, Pete. I hope not. Well, that was a sad story, and hopefully our fax machine and your questions and stories will uplift us in just a moment, guys.
Hold up.
What was that? Boring. No flavor. That was as bad as those leftovers you ate all week. Keke Palmer here, and it's time to say hello to something fresh and guilt-free. HelloFresh. Jazz up dinner with pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Now that's music to my mouth. HelloFresh. Let's get this dinner party started. Discover all the delicious possibilities at HelloFresh.com.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would think, like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.
This show is sponsored by BetterHelp. How's your social battery right now? Mine's pretty low after coming back from the craziness of WrestleMania, too many body slams and all that. And I'm pretty jealous of my co-host Chris, who seems to have been exploring Japan's most isolated hotel. He's definitely winning in the relaxation race, but I'm determined to catch up with him. It can be easy to get swept up in social gatherings and spread ourselves too thin, but with therapy, you can learn to prioritize your time and recharge your batteries. It's helpful for learning how to set personal boundaries and empowering you to be the best version of yourself, because you should spend your time on your own terms. So, if you're thinking of starting therapy, give BetterHelp a try. It's entirely online and designed to be convenient, flexible, and suited to your schedule. Just fill out a brief questionnaire to get matched with a licensed therapist and switch therapists at any time for no additional charge. Find your social sweet spot with BetterHelp. Visit betterhelp.com/Japan today to get 10% off your first month. That's BetterHelp, HELP.com/Japan.
And we're back with the fax machine. What have we got this week from our listeners, Mr. Donaldson?
Stoney has got in touch from the wonderful city of Nashville. Hey, Chris and Pete, we, your listening public, demand an update on Natsuki's smoking habits. See? It all links together. Has he started to quit yet, or has he completely given up on doing so and thus disappointing the listening fans? Kicking ass and living that wonderful Japanese life. Stoney from Nashville. Now, I was watching your live show from your studio a few weeks ago.
With Natsuki.
As I was driving up to Hartlepool. Driving home for Christmas. And I don't think I saw Natsuki smoke, but I just, when I see Natsuki, I presume there's always a cigarette in his hand.
I mean, during the live show, he was like, I need the toilet. And I was like, yeah, sure you do. He didn't get the toilet. He went outside and had a cigarette. And right. No, he very much smokes as much as he used to. It is a shame. Mm. I do want him to try and stop for the sake of his health. They say, like, you know, it takes, what, 7 years for your body to regenerate a lot of the damage done through smoking. And He is coming up to 50 years old. If he can stop before then, hopefully he can still live, you know, past 80. But I fear if he doesn't stop soon, it's going to really shorten his lifespan. And that we don't want that to happen. Nobody wants that. So I'm going to really try and push for it next year. And do like a documentary or something, something where I can utilize the power of Abroad in Japan, 2 million subscribers, to bully Natsuki into stopping smoking in a fun way, bullying through fun.
Yeah.
I get everyone to just bombard Natsuki with like video messages telling him to stop. Like that was a plan I had where when he works, he goes out for a smoking break every 10 minutes. And instead of smoking, what if he went outside and he watched a video message from a viewer? And that would be the same. I'm probably having like a guy just shout at Natsuki down a video isn't as relaxing as having a nice nicotine rush, but could be a start. Yeah. Anything. If you guys have any ideas on how to get Natsuki to stop, let me know.
When someone's messing with your hair, though, do you really want someone with stinky fag fingers in your hair?
A fair point. A fair point. Should say that. We got one here.
You don't want that.
We don't want that. We got one here for. It gives a nice head massage, though. I'll give that to Natsuki. He's good at massaging your head.
Lovely.
It does feel a bit weird,
tobacco
though.
Tobacco fingers.
It is a bit weird having Natsuki do that. Brian from Maryland says, "Hello, Chris and Pete. I recently finished a book called The Phone Booth at the Edge of the World by Laura Imai Messina. The novel is based on the wind phone, a real-life phone booth in Iwate Prefecture where grieving people speak to their deceased loved ones. However, despite all of the J-vloggers I've watched over the years and all the videos that the YouTube algorithm has shoved in my face, I've not once come across anything covering this topic. Is the wind phone a place that either of you have heard of? Thank you for your time, guys. Brian from Maryland." Now, I think we did talk about it. I think it must have been a year ago now because I was equally as impressed to hear about it. Do you remember what the wind phone is, Pete?
Not really, no. I mean, I mean, it's just been described to us in that email. But no, I don't remember hearing about this at all. To be honest, it's a lovely idea.
I mean, after the tsunami, obviously 20,000 people lost their lives along the coastline, and one way to help like grieving relatives sort of get over their grief was to have this phone. It's this phone booth where you can go inside and just talk down the phone as if you're talking to a relative, right? Which is quite a nice, beautiful thing. I actually did nearly go there for an episode of 12 Days of Christmas, this series I did throughout December. I wanted to go there for one of the days and talk about it and present it. But unfortunately, I wasn't able to find the time to leave Sendai. But I do want to do it and I do want to go and cover it. But it's a sensitive topic and I often wonder, you know, am I the right person to tackle that? I do want to go. I do want to go and see it because I think it's a beautiful story and I'd like to go and see that. It's in a very remote location as well. It's not too far from where I went with you, Pete, to the abandoned building for the $200 billion documentary that we did last year. Mm. Got one here from Reese. Well, that's what the title of the video was. The documentary didn't have $200 billion spent on it. It was about the $200 billion disaster.
Right, okay. Reese has got into chai all. I know that Japanese culture puts a lot of weight on not inconveniencing others. So will Japanese public transport, bus, tube and railway, cope with a foreigner lugging around two large suitcases and a backpack for one person, or is that asking a bit much? Now, I can't remember the last time you lugged your suitcase after suitcase through the Japanese metro system. So I'll take this one, Chris. Just don't do it in rush hour, which is what I did with a big old case, and everyone was very upset with me. I needed to get somewhere, guys.
I hate it so much when you like arrive from Haneda Airport and you sort of you go through like a big station like Hamamatsucho and you've got your big suitcase and people just really get pissed at you when you've got luggage in Japan because I don't know why, but like they're not very happy about it. Make sure when you arrive, it's not around 6 p.m. till 8 p.m. Avoid then. Just sit at the airport and have a McDonald's. But it's not fun. It's not fun.
Right.
But that's it. Don't worry. You'll just get some nasty looks and people won't be nice. But, avoid Tokyo at rush hour anyway.
It's invariably Tokyo, so like you'll never see these people again. So do what you want.
That's the way to live. Absolutely. Keep the stories, questions, comments coming into abroadinjapanpodcast@gmail.com. Thank you so much, guys. I've just realized it's the last podcast of the year. I hope you've all had as good a year as possible. Although I've been grumpy, I am happy with how 2021 has gone. I'm pretty happy with things we've done and the podcast as well. So, yeah, I think it's been a good year, and I'm sure we'll knock it out of the park next year as well in 2022. Dare I say, I might get to meet Pete Donaldson again one day in the flesh, face. Can't imagine such a thing.
In the face. I'm going to give you a bit of Pete Donaldson in the face, Chris. Just you wait.
God forbid. But until then, guys, thank you so much. Have a very happy new year and a nice sort of last week to 2021. Unwrap your final gifts, eat some chocolate, have a great time. Mm. Don't drink too much, and I'll see you right back here in 2022 to do it all over again on the Abroad in Japan podcast. Bye from us. Bye for now.
Woo! Woo! Happy New Year!
In Japan is a Stack production and part of the Acast Creator Network.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
I'm Kate Thornton. Join me every week on White Wine Question Time, the podcast that asks famous faces three thought-provoking questions over three glasses of wine.
It's very rare to be introduced with such a thorough introduction, and it's kind of lovely to listen to all that and go, yeah, I've had a good life, right?
You really have.
How did you find that? I can't even remember.
Yeah, you do your research, Kate, man. I'll tell you that.
Do you know what? You are the only person ever, no other journalist has ever made that connection.
Wow, what a great question.
And receives some truly memorable answers.
And Tom Cruise came, and Nicole Kidman. I go to him, listen, before you go, Tom, I just want you to know, if you fancy a foursome, I'm up for it, and I know Anne-Marie doesn't mind.
When I first dated my now husband, I joined a gym for, I'm going to say, £1,000 a year, just so I could go off and have a poo.
Actually, I got heckled once in Wales, and there was a bloke at the bar on crutches, and he actually said to me, I'd rather fall over than listen to this shit, and he threw his crutches at me and fell over. Can you believe that?
I've got some cat's ashes, I don't know who they are.
You've been catfished by your own cat.
Exactly, seriously, man.
Dad, have you thought about putting in a breakfast nook? And my dad would say something like, have you thought about getting your own fucking house?
How did you give a duck an orgasm, Craig?
It's good with them, you know. I know my way around a duck.
So, if you fancy a sit-down with the likes of Adam Hills, Tom Allen, Hannah Waddingham, Phil Tufnell, James Acaster and Ed Gamble, Daisy May Cooper, and tons more, then join me every Tuesday and Friday. Search White Wine Question Time in your podcast app to subscribe and listen now. White Wine Question Time is a Stack production.